David Crilly writes in his novel, "Once a man truly sees the integrity of the word, the only acceptable alternative to walking in its steps is oblivion." And that, of course, reminds me of John 13, where it said, Judas, after he'd been offered the bread and Jesus had given him all those opportunities, it says he went out and it was night. Once you have been offered and you have seen the integrity of the greatness of the inherent and inerrant accuracy of God's word, its only acceptable alternative to walking in the light of the greatness of that word will have to be oblivion. In Romans chapter 1, we are in verse 5, "By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name." The "by whom" is his son, Jesus Christ, of verse 3. "By whom we have received, by his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." It ties back to verse 3. Do you see that? It's a pronoun controlled by its closest associated noun. "By whom, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we have received." The word "received" is the word lambanoed. By whom we have lambanoed. We have lambanoed by the power that's within us, or within you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why it's set this way. "By whom, Jesus Christ our Lord, by that which is within us, we have lambanoed." We have manifest grace and what? Apostleship. This section, grace and apostleship, is very difficult for the Bible translators and the theologians. Been difficult. I think Bullinger says apostolic grace. I do not believe that that fits with the context as well as the grace accorded an apostle. And I would prefer going with that understanding. "By whom, Jesus Christ our Lord, we have lambanoed." Lambanoed the grace accorded an apostle. And I think it fits the context very beautifully. And I'd like to show you, among other things, Ephesians 3:8, to show you why. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. "Unto me," Paul says, "who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable, the untrackable riches of Christ." In Romans 1:5, "By whom, Jesus Christ our Lord, we have lambanoed grace, that I should preach the unsearchable or the untrackable riches of Christ," the apostleship which God had given him. It's still grace. I think it's the grace accorded an apostle is the finest translation I can think of. Grace, as you know, is unmerited favor, divine, perpendicular, God demand. And any person having an apostleship will have received it, lambanoed it, because of the grace of God who extended the apostleship to him. And so I would prefer going with that understanding. The grace accorded an apostle. And anybody who's has any ministry in the body knows it has to be grace. It is an awesome responsibility that any man has to teach the core. It is always fantastically humbling to me. It's a tremendous responsibility. It's an awesome responsibility. And it keeps you fantastically humble. Boy, you just never feel like you're worthy of doing it. Paul said he's the least of what? That's how he felt. No man in his right mind, operating the great principles of the truths of God's word, could ever feel anything but great humility to be able to teach God's word to his people, to God's people. Grace and apostleship. 4, obedience to the faith. First of all, the article thee is not in the text, but I think it's properly supplied. I do not know why they did not italicize it, but it is not in the text. The four is the word ACIS, and it's always used in the accusative case, and it means motion to or unto, a point of reaching it. This grace and apostleship is for, unto a point of accomplishment, of reaching it. Reaching what? Obedience to the faith. That's the point. You'll notice in verse 8 that your faith, your pistis, your believing is spoken of throughout the whole world. See, it's man's believing that makes possible to bring forth that whole family. For obedience to the faith, the faith is the family faith or the household of faith. But it's the believing that is spoken of throughout the whole world. They're believing. In chapter 16 of Romans, in verse 19 it says, talking about obedience, your obedience has come abroad unto all. We have lambanoed this grace and apostleship for obedience. In Romans 10, verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not what? Or how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher, without somebody telling it? Verse 16, they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? That's the obedience to the faith. By whom? Jesus Christ our Lord. We have lambanoed the grace accorded an apostle for obedience, that we might reach to the apex, the point of getting to that place of reaching it, the faith, the family, or the household among all nations. The word among is the Greek word en, and it's only used in the dative case, meaning arriving at a place or at a certain position or space. What is it? That it arrives to reach all nations for his name. The word nations is the word Gentiles. The Greek word is the word ethnos, E-T-H-N-O-S. It's used 29 times in the book of Romans. For obedience to the faith among the place or the space among all the Gentiles for his name. For is the Greek word, the preposition huper, H-U-P-E-R. In the Latin, it is the word super, S-U-P-E-R. The word for here is like the apex of a triangle, or as it's referred to regarding the fixed point of a compass. That's the hooper, for. Boy, isn't that beautiful? For obedience to the faith among all nations, for reaching the apex of the triangle, the fixed point, for his name. His name, whose name? Jesus Christ, our Lord. Back to verse 3. The Greek word for name is the word onoma. The Latins had nomen, nomen, N-O-M-E-N, it's in the Latin. It is interesting how closely aligned the English and the Sanskrit is at times. In Sanskrit, it is nama, N-A-M-A, nama. In English, it's N-A-M-E, name. And I think it's singularly significant that this word, name, its root is the same, basically, as the word gnosko in Greek, to know by experience. For obedience to the faith, the family, among all what? Nations, among all the Gentiles, for his name, Jesus Christ our Lord. Obedience to the faith, among all nations, among all the Gentiles, for his name. Obedience. The word disciple, as you know, means disciplined one. The disciplined one is an obedient one. You will not be obedient to God's word until you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 6, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? Among whom, who? The Gentiles. The Gentiles. Are ye also the called of God? Are ye in Rome? Are ye in Rome the called of Jesus Christ? Peter was never in Rome. Paul was. No matter what tradition says or erroneous theology says, Paul was in Rome. There is no indication that Peter was ever in Rome. Among whom are ye in Rome also the called of Jesus Christ? We had in verse 1 Paul being called a what? Apostle. Here we're talking about the household, the faith among all the Gentiles, and they were called of Jesus Christ. The word called means the invited one, the welcomed one, the chosen one. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, according as he hath what? Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. In Christ. He hath chosen us. That's the word called. The called people are the invited ones, the welcomed ones, the chosen ones. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, listen to the word. Therefore, if any man in Christ, a new creation, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This man who's born again has in him a new creation. And if he walks in the light of that new creation, he lambanos it, makes it manifest, which still will be by grace. Else we wouldn't have it. It won't be too very long. I'll be into the difference between sin and sins in the book of Romans. It's coming up, and it'll just bless your heart when you see that. If any man in Christ, a new creation, the parentheses is a new creation. Those words ought to be set in a parentheses. Man's a new creation. Now, if he renews his mind, puts on the mind of Christ, then the old things of his life are going to do what? Because all things are become new to the end that he lambanos the grace of God which he has within, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the called in Romans, the called of Jesus Christ. This is putting the genitive of Jesus Christ is in the genitive, to put the emphasis upon Jesus Christ and not upon you, or the called in Rome. The emphasis is not upon the called, but it's upon Jesus Christ, who did the calling, who chosen in him before the foundations of what? It is God in Christ doing the calling. That's why the emphasis is on Jesus Christ, and that's why it's in the genitive case. The called of Jesus Christ. That's how the emphasis relates. And that's a fantastic truth. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for whom he, God, did foreknow, he, God, also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, that he, Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn among many what? Right. Pretty good, huh? The called of whom puts us in quite a spiritually elite company. and how far we live below par. We've all been talked out of it in these denominational trips and everything else. Whoever told you that you were called of Jesus Christ, that you were chosen by him, that you were invited by him, that you were his brother? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one, which is God in Christ in you. You're born again. You're of the faith, the family, the household. For which cause, or because of this, he is not ashamed. Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call them brethren. He is not ashamed to call you his brother. Because you're the called of God. Boy, what a day it is in your life when you see the greatness of this word and then start believing it. For people, you are what the word of God says you are. You have what the word of God says you have. You are not what tradition has taught you. You are not what negatives you have been fed previously. You are what the word of God says you are, and you have to get yourself lined up with God's word and let your feelings go jump a creek or something. Because your feelings have nothing to do with the integrity and accuracy of God's word. And here in the first part of this great book of Romans, which is the first great revelation to the body of the church after the day of Pentecost, he says, among whom are ye also, the Gentiles, the called of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's called ones. And that should remind you of John 14:12, where Jesus Christ said before he ascended, the works that I do, ye shall what? And greater works than I have done, ye shall do when I do what? Go to my Father, which is where? You see it? Boy, what a fantastic verse. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? Most men, if they were called by the President of the United States, would blow their buttons. Whether you agree with his politics or not, your ego goes sky high. But how many people ever get excited because they've been called of Jesus Christ? They don't blow any buttons. Boy, you see, the Christian church has lived so far below par, no wonder you don't see anything really happening. We've been talked out of the truth of God's word. You're the called of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ called you. You got a mark on you. You're branded. Boy, somebody's got to believe what the word says. I don't care what society says. I don't care if they laugh at me for what I believe. All I endeavor to do is believe what the word says. And ladies and gentlemen, if this word isn't right, what man's word is going to be right? We in the Way Ministry have staked our believing and our whole life upon the integrity and accuracy of God's word. And I think that's why you're in the Corps, to learn the word of God so that you can take your life and make it the most meaningful for God because of his wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, that lives within you. That's number one. Called of Jesus Christ. That to me is a high and a noble calling. Called of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. Man, when that thing really hits your head, then you women once again will stand up like women of God. You men will stand up again and get counted as men. Not some lousy wolves or something. Boy, men of God, women of God. Why? Because you've been called of whom? That's right, we got a brand on us. We got a mark. And when you walk down that street, you walk like a son or daughter of God. You've been called of whom? Boy, don't you ever forget it. I didn't call you. I didn't die for you. God called you, baby. God called you through his wonderful Son, Jesus Christ. Honey, you're branded. You got his name on you. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're the called of Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget it. I'm called Victor Paul Werwell in the senses realm because of my earthly daddy. But I'm called of Jesus Christ because of my new birth. And I think Jesus Christ is a lot bigger than my earthly daddy. One gave me temporal life, the other one eternal. And eternal's a lot longer than the temporal. Verse 7. And here is a salutation in the book of Romans. Two, that's the salutation. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. To all who? Beloved of God. To all beloved of God. Or if you want to put the emphasis another way, again, it's in the genitive case, God's beloved ones. To all God's beloved ones that be in Rome. I want to explain something to you as to why these church epistles have names of cities, because that was the first place the epistle was sent. Like if I would send an epistle, a letter to the Way College at Emporia, you'd read it first, but the only reason it's addressed to you is because I had to send it someplace, right? Then from here it goes to Indiana International, Gunnison. That's why these church epistles have the names on them. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God. You see, the call of Jesus Christ in verse 6, beloved of God in verse 7, two great truths. The called of Jesus Christ are God's beloved. That's the second great truth. Ephesians 1:6 augments and perhaps deepens your understanding. 1:6 of Ephesians. To the praise of the glory of his grace, in which or wherein he hath made us accepted. He hath made us lovely and acceptable in the beloved. In the beloved, in Christ. He hath made us lovely and acceptable. He made us that way. To all beloved of God, God's beloved. Who made us God's beloved? Christ Jesus did. He made us lovely and what? Acceptable. Well, people, if you're lovely, then you're what? Then why does the Christian believer always live under condemnation, under fear, under frustration? Why do you always feel so dirty? Like as if you can't ever pray to get a prayer answered, because all heaven is brass. Because people won't believe God's word. He hath made us what? Lovely and acceptable. He hath made us lovely and acceptable. We are beloved of God. We are God's beloved. And people, if you're God's beloved, you ought to be able to get a prayer answered. You ought to manifest a life which is more than abundant. You ought to be more than conquerors. You ought to, the works that I do, ye shall do also. Why? Because you are God's what? You are not living at loggerheads with him. There is no animosity of God against you. You are beloved of God. People, if God is your Father through Jesus Christ, you must have entree to God's household. If my earthly father were the president of the United States, I think maybe once a week I could get into the White House. Oh, come on, come on. I wouldn't even ask him. I'd just walk in and out. Why? Because I am his what? Son. Here we are, beloved of God, God's sons through Jesus Christ. And we've got problems with our minds to believe it. While people, line your mind up with God's word. Make yourself feel what the word of God says. Beloved of God, God's loved ones. Then it says, called saints. You're not called to be, you are saints. Saints are not people who are canonized 100, 200, 500, 1,000 years after they die. That's somebody else's trip. That's not the word. When you're born again of God's Spirit and you have Christ in you, the hope of glory, at that moment when you have confessed with your mouth Jesus as Lord, you became a saint. You became beloved of God because you got born of his seed. That's why you're a saint. It doesn't say you're an angel. Never going to make that. Because you kids are going to have to sing, and angels don't sing. So I know that won't work. That's right. You're called saints. Why? Because you are beloved of God. You're God's beloved. You have been called of Jesus Christ. Or Jesus Christ called you. He chose you. Even before the foundations of the world, God knew in his foreknowledge that you would hear the word, that you believe it, so he could save you. And then comes this great part. Called saints, beloved of God, called of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God's only begotten Son. Called saints, grace to you, grace to you, grace to you, saints, and peace to you, saints. From who? God, our Father. I believe this is addressed to the saints, call of Jesus Christ, beloved of God, saints. It's addressed to the saints, which emphasizes the individual believer's unity in the household and the body of the church. It is an individual matter. That's why I believe the word saints is in here. You see, it does not say to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called the church of the body, because the church is the temple made up of everybody. But this makes it very personal, very individual. Every individual called of Jesus Christ, beloved of God, called a what? Saint. That's why I think the word saint is used here. Fantastic usage, which emphasizes the individual believer's unity in the household and in the body of the church. And I think this warrants the greatness of the truth of God's word. Like, the church is his body, Christ is the head of it, and every individual is a particular member in that body. Particular means unique, specific, right where you're supposed to be. Like in the human body, every individual member of that human body is a particular member in that body of yours. Have you tried taking a little finger and putting it on the end of your nose? It just wouldn't quite work there. But it works beautifully on the hand. So the body of Christ is. Every person is a saint. Every person is beloved of God. Everyone is called of Jesus Christ and has a specific responsibility where that individual just fits beautifully in the household or the body. Here in Romans, it uses grace and peace to you. Always personal. Grace to you and peace to whom? You. The individual saint, the individual believer. Grace to every individual and peace to every individual. Grace, I told you, is God's unmerited favor. No one earns it. You don't work for it. You're not educated into it. Grace is unmerited. God demand. If you work for something, then the wages are merited. But if it's of grace, it's totally unmerited. Grace to you and peace, which literally is grace and peace to you, the individual saint, the individual believer. No individual will ever have peace until they realize what they have in them when they're born again, which is Christ, the Prince of Peace. How can you have peace without the Prince of Peace? The world's always talking peace, and the world's the most unpeaceful thing in the whole world. They're always talking about peace, and all they got's war, trouble, right? A lot of talk. The only way you can ever have peace, ladies and gentlemen, is to have Christ in you, the hope of glory, and know who you are and what you are and where you're going. He is grace and what? Peace to you. It is remarkable and significant, I think, and I don't know the real reason for it, that he would only do grace and peace here. I think sometimes I understand, but I'm not sure if I do. that in order to have peace, I have to have the mercy of God as well as His grace. That's why I'd just like to call to your attention that in the other pastoral epistles, the three other pastoral epistles that were written by the Apostle Paul, speaking God's word, he adds the word mercy in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. Grace, mercy, and what? Peace. From God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Grace, mercy, and what? In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 2. Grace, mercy, and what? Peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And in Titus chapter 1 verse 4. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. All three pastoral epistles include mercy. I still am not sure whether it ought to be Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. I'm working it, and tonight I will not say what I believe, thus saith the Lord, for I'm just not absolute. But I do know this, that grace and peace, in order to have the grace and the peace, it's got to be mercy in between, in practice, even if it isn't mentioned. Because mercy is God's withholding merited judgment. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Mercy is God's withholding of merited judgment. And this is from is the word apo, from God our what? Father. God the creator of heaven and earth, our Father, God our Father. And here's a second truth. Here's the one who made this available, this grace, mercy, peace, apostleship, obedience to the faith, to be beloved of God, to be saints, God our Father, and a conjunction, the one who made it available, the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the old text reads, and I think it's right, no article D, but it's our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. The word Lord means headship, the headship. In the Old Testament, it says that the husband is the Lord of the wife. That doesn't make the husband God the creator of the heavens and the earth, but it does make him God as headship of the wife. As Christ is the head of the church, as God is the head of Christ, lordship. Peace from God the Father and our Lord, Jesus Christ. Our Lord, headship. Romans 10:9. If thou wilt confess with thy mouth what? Jesus as what? Lord. You have to confess him as Lord. He's headship. And he is the one who made it available. For God so loved that he did what? Gave his only begotten Son. His only begotten Son so loved that he always did the Father's will. See how beautiful is this whole section ties together with all the rest of God's word. Again, to all beloved of God, God's lovely ones, the lovely and acceptable ones, who are beloved of God in Rome and over in Emporia and every other place, and they're called saints. Grace and peace. But to have grace and to have peace, you have to have the mercy of God in between. And we have grace and we are at peace. We're no longer at loggerheads. And we have it from God, who is our Father. And we have it by what was made available to us by our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior.